Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tarsan Products Limited Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aryan Sehgal, Promoter and Whole Time Director of Tarsan Products, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to the Q4 and FY 2026 earnings call of Tarsan Products Limited. I'm joined by Mr. Santosh Agarwal, our CFO, and SGA, our investor relation partners. We have uploaded our result and investor presentation for the Q4 and FY 2026 on our website and the stock exchange. I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. To begin with, we are delighted to share that Tarsan has achieved its highest ever quarterly revenue in Q4 FY 2026. Our revenue stood at 121 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 7.4%. While the revenue for FY 2026 stood at 426 crores, registering a growth of 7.7% year-on-year. This gradual improvement in performance strengthens our confidence in the long-term growth of Tarsan. With increased capacities and capabilities now in place, addition of product portfolio, and strong brand recognition for Tarsan in the domestic market, coupled with our strategic expansion initiatives in the overseas market, we are well-positioned to outperform industry growth across markets. Speaking of industry dynamics, Tarsan has once again outperformed overall industry growth trends. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, the industry recorded a modest growth of 3%, whereas Tarsan delivered a significantly strong growth of approximately 16%. Similarly, on a year-on-year basis, while the industry witnessed a decline of around 8%, Tarsan reported a growth of 4.5%. The performance reflects our ability to consistently gain market share and strengthen our position within the industry. On a standalone basis, our revenue for Q4 FY 2026 stood at 97 crores as compared to 93 crores in Q4 FY 2025, representing a 4.4% growth year-on-year. While the overall growth remained moderate, our domestic business delivered a strong performance with a revenue growth of 11.7% year-on-year, reflecting continued demand momentum and strengthening market presence. Overall revenue growth, however, was impacted by a decline of 13.4% in the export business during Q4 FY 2026, which was largely due to the ongoing geopolitical tensions and war-like situation in the Middle East. This has significantly disrupted global supply chains, leading to shipment delays across our international markets. Factors such as non-availability of containers, elevated freight costs, and shipment delays amid prevailing uncertainties led to temporary decline in the export revenue during this quarter. Despite these external challenges, our domestic business demonstrated strong resilience and continued to outperform, delivering approximately 12% year-on-year growth in Q4 FY 2026. This performance reinforces our confidence in the strength of the domestic market and the growing acceptance of the Tarsan brand. For the full year FY 2026, standalone revenues grew by 6% year-on-year, with domestic business growing by 7% and exports registering around 3%. Export performance during the year was impacted by multiple external factors, including tariff-related uncertainties during FY 2026, seasonally weaker demand in Q3 due to the holiday period in international markets, and geopolitical disruptions witnessed in Q4. terms of recent developments, we have observed some easing of supply chain-related issues over the past 2 weeks. Additionally, customer inquiries and order pipelines, which had remained subdued over the last couple of months, are now gradually reviving. We are closely monitoring the evolving situation and remain well-positioned to capitalize on improving momentum going forward. For the margins for Q4 and FY26, both the gross margin and the EBITDA margin witnessed some decline due to a significant increase in the raw material prices during February and March, driven by commodity price movements and global supply chain disruptions. This resulted in a contraction in gross margin during the quarter. EBITDA margins were also impacted by higher operating expenses related to our new plants, which have now become operational. While the corresponding revenue contribution is expected to build up gradually over the coming years. As revenues scale up, we expect operating leverage to play out, supporting and improving our overall EBITDA margins going forward. While gross margins remain relatively stable at around 71%-72% during FY26, the gross margin has been impacted over the past couple of months by a considerable spike in raw material costs, driven by disruptions in global supply chains following the onset of the Middle East conflict. Going forward, the political situation and its impact on the supply chains and commodity prices will be important factors to monitor in the near term. PAT for both Q4 and FY26 was impacted by higher depreciation and interest costs following the commissioning of the new CapEx. FY27 PAT is likely to remain at a relatively moderate level. At the same time, we expect improved operating leverage from ramping up the new facilities to aid the operational performance from FY27. PAT has shown significant improvement, reflecting the underlying strength of the business. On a consolidated basis, cash PAT for FY26 stood at 112 crores. Compared to 92 crores in FY25, representing a strong growth of 21.5%. Our new facilities and the CapEx, Tarsans has undergone a large-scale investment program approximately 4 years ago, with the objective of significantly enhancing its manufacturing capabilities, broadening its product portfolio, and strengthening its position across key growth segments. We are now entering the final phase of this expansion journey with a substantial portion of the CapEx already commissioned and operational. Past few quarters, we have commenced operations across several strategic product categories, including our bioprocess product lines, expanding liquid handling manufacturing capacities, and selected product lines within the cell culture segment. The balance commissioning is progressing as planned, with trial runs currently underway for certain product lines and facilities. We expect the entire CapEx program to be fully commissioned during the first half of the current financial year. Once fully operational, these facilities will significantly enhance our production capacities, improve supply capabilities, and enable a wider and more diversified product basket for both domestic and international markets. This expanded manufacturing base will position us to address a larger customer base, improve market penetration, and capitalize on emerging opportunities across high-growth segments. While the full utilization and ramp-up of these capacities will take some time, we expect the initial benefits to start reflecting from the current financial year itself through higher volumes, improved product availability, and incremental revenue contribution. Over the medium term, these investments are expected to become a key driver of growth and operating leverage for the company. I would like to highlight a few key points. Over the last few years, the industry has witnessed a challenging demand environment. However, Tarsans has consistently outperformed industry growth. During this period, the company was also undertaking its largest ever CapEx program aimed at significantly expanding capacities and capabilities to support growth over the next 5 to 7 years. While these investments temporarily impacted overall financial performance, we believe the heavy investment phase is now largely behind us. With industry conditions gradually improving, we are well positioned to enter the next phase of growth as we deepen our presence across domestic and international markets with an expanded product portfolio. We expect stronger revenue growth, which will subsequently translate into improved profitability. We remain highly excited about the company's growth trajectory over the next 3 to 5 years and are optimistic about outperforming our internal expectations. With this, I now hand over the call to Santosh. Thank you.
Thank you, and a very warm welcome to everyone on our Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. Let me take you through financial highlights for the quarter and full year 2026. On a standalone performance, revenue for Q4 FY26 stood at approximately 97 crore in compared to 93 crore in Q4 FY25, registering a growth of 4.4% year-on-year. Domestic business delivered strong growth of 11.7%, however, overall revenue growth was moderated by a 13.4% decline in export during the quarter, primarily due to the Middle East crisis, which disrupted supply chain and impacted shipment dispatch as well as uncertainty surrounding U.S. tariffs. Revenues for FY26 stood at 332.9 crore, reflecting a growth of 6% year-on-year. Gross margin for the standalone business in Q4 FY26 stood at 68.5%, impacted mainly by higher raw material costs arising from volatility in commodity prices. Gross margin in FY26 remained relatively stable at around 71%. EBITDA for Q4 FY26 and FY26 stood at 32.6 crore and 110.1 crore respectively. EBITDA margin were impacted by higher commissioning and operational expenses related to the Amta and Panchala facility. We expect this cost to stabilize and margins to improve as utilization ramp up over the coming year. PAT for Q4 FY26 stood at 5.5 crore, while FY26 PAT stood at 22.7 crore. Productivity was impacted by higher depreciation and interest expenses associated with the new capex. Approximately 49 crore out of the total depreciation of 87 crore in FY26 was for the Panchala and Amta facilities. Adjusted cash PAT for Q4 FY26 stood at 31.9 crore, while FY26 adjusted cash PAT stood at 111.1 crore, reflecting a growth of 15% year-on-year. On a consolidated performance basis, consolidated revenue for Q4 FY26 stood at 120.9 crore, registering a growth of 7.3% year-on-year, while FY26 consolidated revenue stood at 422.5 crore, reflecting a growth of 7.7% year-on-year. EBITDA for Q4 FY26 stood at approximately 34.3 crore, while an EBITDA margin of 28.3%. For FY26, consolidated EBITDA stood at 117.9 crore. PAT for FY26 stood at 14.3 crore. Adjusted cash PAT for Q4 FY26 stood at 33 crore, reflecting a growth of 9.3% year-on-year, while FY26 adjusted cash PAT stood at 112 crore, representing a strong growth of 21.4% year-on-year. At a consolidated level, we have marginally improved our cash flow from operations to 118 crore compared to 114 crore despite lower profitability in FY26. This reflects our disciplined execution and working capital management. With this, I open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from Google Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, our export strategy relies heavily on the white label part alongside exporting our own Tarsan branded products. So how does the management manage the response from the customers when they say they have a low-cost contract manufacturer with a much higher reputation in the international markets?
I'm not very sure about your question. I didn't really understand it. What do you want? What are you trying to get at?
Sir, there might be like in the export market, there might be some companies with a higher low-cost contract manufacturing with a higher reputation in the international markets. So how does like when Tarsan approach a customer in the export market, so how does Tarsan like manage the response from the customers? So when they say they have a low-cost manufacturing and better branded than Tarsan products in the international market, so how do you catch a customer in the international market?
No, I think it depends on the customer's segments, what we are looking at. There is the market internationally is quite large and is available to a wide, you know, range of companies selling in the international market. So we do receive a lot of price competition. There is a lot of price competition from domestic players in India exporting, as well as from Chinese players. And Tarsan looks at, you know, whatever its strengths are in terms of the products where it has, you know, an edge and where, you know, how we can, you know, be able to maximize our value while delivering quality. But we cannot win every customer and have every contract in place. We'd lose some contracts and, you know, win some contracts. But there's enough space and room for the kind of value we deliver internationally.
So my second question is on our domestic port has been our decade-long exclusive agreements with the scientific distributors across India. So, however, the unlisted players like Abros and Acumex are aggressively expanding their product portfolio and offering highly competitive terms. So are you seeing instances where our legacy distributors are onboarding these competitors for a low-price product lines?
Most of the companies operating in the lab consumable space in India have their own channel, and that is, you know, beneficial for all companies involved, you know, large, big, you know, small, medium-sized companies, because just like Tarsan's would not like to, you know, share distribution partners with smaller, medium players or even larger multinational players. Similarly, the smaller players would also, you know, try and appoint distributors who are exclusive to them and who are putting all their marketing efforts in the promotion and sale of their products.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avnish Tiwari from Vaikarya. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you articulate how your depreciation rate will change as you commercialize the remaining capacity? And what is the CapEx you are expecting in fiscal 27 and maybe fiscal 28?
Sir, we are following the written down value method, and the depreciation on machine and mold is 18% and building is 10%. That will continue. And still in our balance sheet, 158 crore of CWIP is there. That will get, you know, moved to main asset segment in FY27, and the additional depreciation will come from that as well. So we expect a higher depreciation in FY27.
Right, but do you have some number like where it can go, your depreciation rate in fiscal 27?
The rate will be the same because we are following the written down value method. Only thing is that the depreciation amount will be in the range of, you know, 105 to 110 crore rupees. That will be the peak for us.
105 to 110 crore, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and what is the CapEx plan for fiscal 27 and 28 if you have?
There is no additional CapEx plan. Whatever CapEx is pending and whatever CWIP is there, we are just completing that. Apart from that, some maintenance and some required commercial viable CapEx will be there. Otherwise, no major CapEx.
Again, how much is that typically, your maintenance and general corporate kind of maintaining the plant and everything? How much CapEx you envisage in fiscal 27?
Approx 20 crore rupees.
And now business question I have on the cell culture. How do you expect the ramp up in that business, let's say this year, next year?
So we expect cell culture to gradually ramp up. We would expect slower ramp ups as we've commercially launched certain cell culture lines in the market over the last 2 to 3 months. So we expect a slower launch as people get accustomed to the product, do their respective tests and trials, and onboard us as one of their vendors. And I think we should see some significant momentum towards year two and moving forward. Year two, three and four should be able to really help us scale up the volumes till we reach a sizable market size where we could have normalized growth levels. But I think starting from year two, we should see significant scale up if the product meets up to its expectations and is well accepted by the customer base.
Year two in this case would be fiscal 28 or 27?
Yes. It should be towards the end of fiscal 27, fiscal 20, beginning of fiscal 28. We should start seeing a lot of momentum because we've launched this product, most of the lines of the product we've launched towards Q4 of last year. So it's been about 2 to 3 months, So we expect the first year, year and a half, where, people generally don't, in a product like cell culture, they would not just jump into conclusions and give you the entire volume. They would, they would use you as one of the vendors and see how reliable we are as in this. But the advantage what we have is that they know the company, they know the brand, and they know the reputation which comes out from the products from Tarson, so that gives us an edge.
And these are domestic, who are your customers, and typically do you need like lot of customers, or fewer customers can fill up your capacity, assuming you start ramping up in year two and year three?
No, I think it will be a mix of international and domestic. The kind of capacities what we have will not be able to be fulfilled just by domestic customers. So it definitely will have to be a mix of international and domestic.
And like roughly, like you need like a lot of customers or fewer customers, like maybe 10s and 20s are enough to fill up reasonable amount of capacity you have?
It's basically those 10s and 20s which will account for majority of the demand, You'd have a long tail, but those 10s and 20s will account for everything, yeah.
And apart from this cell culture piece, how you expect your growth momentum in fiscal 27? That, like, where do you see each line of your business moving?
Now, I think cell culture is just used as a single term because we've used it as a very broad term. But there are actually a lot of product lines for the bioprocess, biopharma, cell culture production market, and there's some significant capacity expansions in certain product lines what we already sell. I think the Indian market stabilizing, puts us in a very good position to acquire more market share from the Indian market as well as the expansion in international markets, considering the world geopolitical situation globally remains stable. But internationally, we are very, very bullish on good growth moving forward over the next 3 to 4 years. But we are cautious that there could be certain blips in the midterm or the short term because of the geopolitical environment. But overall, strategy-wise, international market remains a robust opportunity for Tarsons.
Are you serving something for Norway from India, or you can after this capacity expansion?
We will, after laying down all the capacity expansions what we have, we will be serving a lot of products from India for Norway. Whatever is financially viable, of course, yeah.
Right. And on the Indian domestic side, what has changed lately, which has made growth rate pick up?
Of course, our product portfolio has grown, and I think the market, is, easing out a bit. The situation in the market was pretty favorable over the last 6 to 7 months in India, and we rode on that momentum. I believe that whenever the market will be favorable, Tarsans will always have the best opportunity for growth, the way we positioned ourselves with the customer base as well as with the distribution network.
A favorable position was.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Tiwari. May we please request
you
to rejoin the queue, sir? Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jasdeep Walia from Clockvine Capital Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question.
Hi.
So you were very bullish on prospects of exports growing at a significant rate in the starting of fiscal year 26. And then this whole episode happened where duties were raised in U.S. And, whatever you were thinking did not happen in FY26. But those hindrances are now taken care of. So export duties are no longer there. So should we expect very strong growth in exports in FY27?
I would not be able to answer that clearly because at this point of time, we have a significant spike in raw materials as we speak, right? This has been prevalent for the last 10 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks, from the beginning of March, beginning, middle of March. So it depends on how soon there will be normalized conditions because with these large raw material spikes are primarily attributed to manufacturers in Asia, and not so much to manufacturers in the U.S. Although U.S. manufacturers are feeling the heat of inflation as we speak, but the sourcing of raw material prices, which is a primary component in manufacturing our products, has not been affected in the U.S. as compared to in India, where you see raw material price increases as much as 70% from normalized levels. So this makes us slightly non-competitive in international markets. And of course, we would find ways on, how we can maintain pricing and move ahead. But we would need better conditions for uninterrupted growth and stronger growth in international market. Every time, a crisis ends, there's something huge comes up, globally at this point of time over the last few years.
Got it. It is surprising to know that, raw material prices for a labware manufacturer in U.S. will be lower than you in dollar terms. I would presume both of you would buy from the same source, right? So RM price in dollar terms would be the same for both of you.
Most of the raw material prices are impacted from, vendors across the Middle East, and Asia. And a lot of raw material suppliers, based in the U.S., supplying to U.S. manufacturers, the price impact hasn't been as strong as what it has been here in, towards Asia, towards China, India. Manufacturers have been impacted much more severely as compared to the U.S. and Europe. However, inflation is a big problem in the U.S. at this point in time, and we see cost pressures, but that's not raw material linked.
Got it. How do you see Chinese competition in your, main export market of U.S. and Europe? Has it increased further in the last year or the competitive conditions are more benign going forward versus what you've seen in the past?
The competition has always been strong. It subdued us slightly with higher tariffs, but I think with the tariffs not remaining in effect, completely like the way it was, Chinese competition is fierce both in the U.S. as well as Europe, as well as other parts of the world, including Asia, Latin America, and so on. The Chinese make very high-quality products. They are very, very strong in deliveries, in capacity build-ups and scale-ups. They're very, very professional, and they have been in the international markets at least a decade and a half earlier than any other Indian manufacturer. So they always have that 15-year, you know, runway or 15-year lead over any Indian manufacturer or brand in our industry, which is laboratory consumables. So they continue to be an integral part of the industry, and I'm moving, I believe they will be.
And are there additional duties on Chinese products in US and Europe, or they are the same for India and China?
I think in the US it's very similar now. The duties between Chinese and Indian products, there's a slight difference, but in Europe we had similar duties, but with the India-EU FTA trade deal, if it comes into effect, it is not yet into effect, we might have a benefit of about certain percentage points between us and the Chinese.
Got it. Sometime back when I asked you the same question, in the sense, this was 1 or 2 years back, you didn't consider Chinese as credible competition in US and Europe, because you used to say that, you know, US brands, they don't want Chinese sourcing. That doesn't seem to be the case as of now. It seems like China has overcome
India exports approximately 250 to 275 crore of laboratory consumables into the US between all companies, including Tarsens, just in the lab consumable space. China would export more than 275 crores a month into the US, and that is historical over the last 20 years. This is not an overnight phenomenon. I think you are confusing the questions what you have asked me. What you asked me was how strong is Chinese in India, because of our strong reputation and brand image in India and very, very competitive prices and the import structure into India. Chinese have a very limited and small presence inside the Indian market, but the Chinese are very, very strong globally.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the question queue, please restrict yourself to 2 questions only. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So in one of the replies to the previous participant, you mentioned that the demand conditions in the domestic markets have turned favorable in the last 6-7 months. So if you could just elaborate, what has happened in the domestic markets? Has the competition rationalized, or the demand has improved? So if you could just help us understand what has happened.
There has been a certain rationalization in competition for sure over the last 2 to 3 years, but that is more on the trader and the importer level, right? There was a lot of influx of, you know, products from Asia and other parts during COVID because of not enough capacities available in India to service customers. So once those capacities came in and, you know, the industry normalized, those products were not needed anymore, but there was a large inventory in the system. And that inventory needed time because the market was not big enough, so it could not be cleared immediately, right? So what we are seeing is not so much of a rationalization of competition, but more clearing out of inventory, which would not be reordered again. So that is what we are seeing mainly, along with, you know, more and more investments in the private sector, you know, which is leading to, you know, better demand, and most of the major companies in India are well positioned to cater to that demand. So it's not so much, you know, I would not say that there were 10 companies before which were producing lab consumables, and today there are 6 or 7 and 3 have closed down. That has not really happened. But a lot of inventory has cleared up.
Understood. And now, sir, in a, you know, rising raw material scenario, so how are we placed against, you know, smaller players and traders who import goods from China, and also against MNCs who would also largely import their goods, because INR depreciation would be hitting them and logistics costs would also be hitting them? So how are you placed against competition in this scenario?
Just like how you mentioned, right, the rupee is depreciating, you know, significantly, and it has significantly depreciated over the last 6-7 months. So it becomes more and more complicated and expensive for companies to import. and bring the product into India, the geopolitical situation is causing a lot of problems in the transport routes, as well as the freight costs have gone up significantly as well. So that adds to the cost. So all these things always play favorably to make in India producers, not only Tarsans, but anybody else who produces in India, because for us, the only component which is being imported where we are paying the higher price for the rupee depreciation is the raw material. Rest of the other components which are added to the cost are all local.
Understood. And now, sir, in this rising raw material price scenario, have we taken any price hikes in the domestic markets to offset this rising cost? Because we had not increased our prices for quite some time. So are we looking to increase our prices?
So we are looking to gradually increase pricing, because, at 60 or 70% raw material price hikes, it is a large, cost increase, and we would not be able to support such a large cost increase by absorbing it. However, we may not be in a position to be able to pass on the entire, cost increase to our customers. And some part of that cost might have to be shared, in the short term, because we don't expect this to be a permanent situation where the prices remain like this over, the next couple of months or years. Maybe the prices will not get back to the old levels, but there would definitely be some rationalization.
Sir, any particular reason we have still not increased the price? Because as you mentioned, some part of the competition is affected, and demand is also improving. Doesn't it make sense for us to increase prices now?
As I said, we've gradually started increasing prices, and we have to play, we have to be very, very careful about the price increases, because everybody understands that, it is a temporary price increase and not a permanent price increase. So distributors would also be wary and cautious, right, of having large amounts of inventory, because if the prices drop the next month, they would have a lot of inventory at higher prices as well. I'm talking about domestic distributors. So we have gradually started in this fiscal year, which is April, and we're looking at it from a product by product basis and seeing, rather than from an entire price list point of view.
Got it. And now, sir, if I could understand,
we please request you to rejoin the queue, sir, for the follow-up question. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from Simple. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Good afternoon. And I think the facilities are now all up and running. My question is, now if we go back to our 2 years previous calls, our idea was that the demand is there and distributors and everyone wanted the product, but we didn't have the capacity to even provide for validation and all. So when today we are close to commissioning the capacity, on the marketing side, what are we doing and what all efforts are we putting in order to faster utilization of those capacities? If you can just share some ideas. And a sub question is, before the tariff, we had put in a lot of people to develop the market in US. Now, and the tariff hit and probably some of the efforts got delayed. But in the meantime, in last 1.5 years, how have new markets we have been able to open up, and how do you see the opportunities beyond US for us?
So regarding our marketing initiatives, I think we have teams in place for both the domestic as well as international marketing, and we follow our procedure of being able to get our products validated from key customers internationally as well as in India, we produce various kinds of marketing material and undertake various kinds of marketing initiatives and roadshows domestically as well as exhibitions internationally, and that's how we promote and push and bring our products, especially our new products, to key users all over the world, and that's how we look at it. Could you just repeat your second question once again, please?
So on markets beyond US, because of tariff, I think some of our plans, and as you mentioned, even today, US, we are not as competitive. But beyond markets beyond US, what are we doing and how do you see opportunities playing out there?
So our focus has always been, the US and Europe, and we look at growing our presence in these countries while we are looking to strengthen ourselves in Asia and Latin America. So I think we will look at good growth coming in from Asia as well as Latin America over the next 2 to 3 years. But a significant portion of our business will still keep coming from the US and Europe.
Okay. And one question, continuing with the Aditya question on pricing, my question is more on supply, that in this period of last from March to April and May, when we are talking to other companies, many companies have talked about that price has increased, but supply was a challenge, which becomes a bigger problem for smaller players. Is a similar situation applicable in your industry, and are you seeing benefits of those coming to you in terms of better order visibility or more like discussions or inquiry pipeline improving, or is the situation not so bad even for like a smaller supplier?
We generally compete against larger players, than us. Very few companies we compete with which are smaller than us. The supply is an issue, and the problem is not only the price increase but the availability, and we just have to have higher levels of inventory, stock up more, and strengthen our supply chain systems to be able to navigate through this crisis. But raw material availability is a reality at this point of time, raw material supply issues, and it's apparent throughout the industry.
But during a similar period in COVID, they got a benefit, significant benefit in terms of higher growth. Would you say such a scenario can play out for us in today's market? Or
it cannot play out, because COVID, the problem was in COVID, the customer's demand had gone significantly higher than normal, which is not the case today, right? The demand levels are good, but they're not significantly higher or unprecedentedly high, right? So we cannot expect a situation like COVID today.
But supply is constrained.
Supply is constrained, but demand is not. Demand is not like the way it was in COVID. There's no comparison between COVID demand and today's demand.
Okay.
In COVID, facilities, how much have we produced was not enough.
Okay, and last question, you mentioned now CapEx is largely out of window, like it would be more maintenance, 20-30 crores. Would you say over next 2 years, the larger part of the free cash generation would be to deleverage? On what's your idea over next 2-3 years? What is the kind of debt we want to keep on our book?
See, we would definitely, it would be to deleverage, reduce, the debt on our books, and I would, ideally in a situation, in an ideal situation, not want, debt to, increase more than 2 times our EBITDA, and unless we, if some significant opportunity comes up and, if the markets are favorable, we might look to, raise money if, the debt is still significantly high in our books. But at this point in time, the focus over the next 2 to 3 years is to significantly ramp up our capacity, grow our scale, and be able to, earn larger cash profits to be able to deleverage, as you said.
Sure. Thank you. I'll come back in with you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned that the export business is affected due to gross margins. But sir, if I consider our business is 70% gross margin business, so why would a few percentage here and there because of the raw material volatility affect our exports because for us it would, the quantum of revenue would matter much more than getting the pricing right. So I'm not able to clearly understand this thought process.
Okay. See, the thing is, at the end of the day, we have to have certain rationality when it comes to pricing, to be able to maintain certain cost structures when we are moving forward. Because if we are not being able to price our products correctly and the business significantly scales up, it's very difficult for us to reprice moving forward, especially in international markets where, customers are aware that the currency depreciates as well, right? The rupee depreciates against the dollar. So most of the times we have pressures from our buyers in the US because they are well aware of where the currency has depreciated over the last 10 or 15 years, the Indian currency. But not having complete information and understanding about the inflationary pressures in India and what sort of price increments or cost increments the company faces year over year, which is not similar to a standard scenario in the US or in Europe. So while a 60-70% increase in material margin might just affect our gross margin by, from 70%, it might take it to 58 or 57% and might look healthy, it may not be sustainable in the long term.
Right. Now, sir, if I look at all the CapEx has been done, so going forward, how should I look at our growth from the domestic market as well as from the export ODM market? So how has been the new customer addition strategy for our export business as well as in domestic market? How, if you could help us understand, how has been new product launches and how do we see the capacity ramp up? You mentioned that from FY28, cell culture will improve materially. But if I were to consider in terms of numbers, how should I look at these maybe over the next 1 or 2 years?
Right. So what we expect is we expect good growth from the domestic market, strong, stable growth from the domestic market over the next 2 to 3 years, primarily because of our position and our, base in the domestic market. We already have a very strong base, and so we should have good stable growth moving forward. And internationally, I think the growth numbers could be much higher, significantly higher than domestic, the growth percentages, because although the base is lower than international domestic market, but still I think the quantum of opportunity is much higher internationally. And so we could, depending on geopolitical situations, economic tariff situations, and everything being in order, being in place, the speed at which we could convert contracts, the growth may not be very homogeneous over the next 3-4 years, but there could be some strong years of growth when we win contracts and win ODM businesses.
So nothing material as of now that we have since commissioning these new facility?
No, so we it's an ongoing process. We don't announce any material contract wins or any material ODM thing. We don't disclose such things, but it's an ongoing process with and without these facilities. Our marketing process to be able to add new customers and have new demand generation all across the globe.
Right. That was from mine. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rushil from Pink Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So my question is, in this quarter, we have been seeing that purchase of stock in trade has been increased from 11 crore to around 14 crore. So is it like this was one of the reasons also impacting our gross margin and we had some capacity constraints, so that is why we have to outsource it?
No, these are the traded goods. We are not manufacturing that. And on the basis of demand and supply scenario.
Sorry?
These are the traded goods you are talking about. So traded goods are something which we are not manufacturing.
Yeah, I got it. So that is why we had increased it because we had some capacity constraint. That is why we had to trade it the goods, or like it is a normal part of our business.
This is the normal part of business, but I don't see that, you know, 14 crore has been increased in the traded goods because total purchase for the year is about to be, you know, 15 to 20 crore. It cannot be 14 crore increase. I think 1.4 million is there and you have read it as 14 crore.
Okay, sorry. And the second question is, since I've been seeing that, you know, if we see our inventory from last 1 to 2 years and in line with our revenue, so just wanted to understand that it was something like that, you know, the raw material prices were increasing and we were not able to pass on the price and somewhere we had to take out the inventory written down also.
We are not writing off any kind of inventory. We do the provisioning on the basis of aging, but all the inventories are good inventory. If I have to break down the inventory, only raw material inventory has been increased, and the reason was very clear. We already explained that we did it because of supply chain disruption all over the globe. We have to keep more raw material because supply is an issue, and raw material prices is also keep on increasing. But if you see the finished goods has been reduced from 40 crore to 30 crore rupees.
Okay, got it. So the last question is that, you know, since we have been seeing that, you know, there is a supply chain constraint and the player like Tarsan, you know, who is big enough and there are smaller players in the market. So do we see that, you know, because of our capability and the size we have, that we will be able to procure the raw materials at a competitive rate and can have a good opportunity to gain the market share as the small players won't be able to, you know, get the raw material, you know, due to supply disruption and the requirement of working capital for them?
No, I think raw material rates are very, you know, crude linked rates, and these are fixed spot rates. So, you know, if the amount of volume what we do in our business, we are considered for the raw material supplier a very, very small player. So there is not any significant, but we are not in, you know, we are not in industrial plastics where we have a turnover of 5,000-7,000 crores and a gross margin of 30%, where there is 70% raw material consumption and we are buying thousands of crores of raw material and that also one or two grains. Here we are buying, you know, 20, 30, 40 different grades across different polypropylene, HDP, polycarbonate, polystyrene, you know, and we have a purchase of about 70, 80 crores worth of raw material, which for the raw materials are spread across different vendors in the Middle East and Europe. So for any particular raw material supplier supplying to Tarsan's worth 6, 7 crores or 8 crores of raw material in a year is nothing significant or nothing material. As a company, to investors and to the market, we may look like a sizable company, but in the raw material world, we are just, you know, one of the small players.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead. Raman, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question. Raman KV, your line is unmuted. Please unmute yourself and proceed with your question. As there is no response from the current questioner, we'll move to the next question from the line of Vibhor Talreja from Nest Amplifier. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. This is a follow-up to the earlier question with respect to depreciation, where you said that FY27 depreciation is expected to be 105 to 110 crores. The question is that on a standalone level or it's a consolidated depreciation that you are mentioning at 105 to 110?
It's on a standalone level. At a console level, only Nerve got included and Nerve has no major depreciation except some intangibles are there.
Okay, so when I do the maths, I was coming to a much higher number because your Q4 depreciation itself is 29 crores and you have capitalized some of the assets on March 31st, I assume, and you have another 150 crores of WIP, CWIP there, which you said you will capitalize over the next 3 to 9 months, and you mentioned the rates. So when I do the maths, the depreciation comes out to be more like 130 to 140 crores. Am I really missing something?
So if you are calculating on a console level, then it includes the depreciation also. My this year depreciation is about to be 85 to 89 crore rupees, and another 25-30 crore of depreciation will also come in the next year. So it will sum to, you know, about to 110 crore rupees, right? plus some intangible depreciation and amortization will also happen at a consolidated.
Okay, so can you please once again answer what is your expected consolidated depreciation for FY27?
At this moment, I can only give the standalone depreciation only, because consolidated depreciation depends on what kind of amortization will happen at a console level. But at a standalone level, I can give you a forecasted depreciation of about to be 110 crores.
Okay, you know, fair enough. My last question. The reason I was asking was because when I do the maths, and while the business rightly should be valued on cash fat and EBITDA, but it looks like on an accounting basis we are going to have losses because the depreciation increases here for real and the sales increase beyond the normal is some time away. Is it fair to assume that there is accounting losses expected in expected quarters?
No, sir. We don't expect the accounting losses will be there. Of course, we expect PAT to be in the range of, you know, single digit number, but it will not be losses. So far, the way things are going on, because, you know, we are making a EBITDA of about to be, you know, 33-34%, and then PBT is also 9-10% PBT is there, and then, you know, 4-5% of PAT is also there. And we are already written down value meter, so the depreciation will not exceed at a standalone level more than 110 crore rupees.
Okay, thank you so much. Last question on the margins. Given the softness of the margins because of raw material price increase in Q4, would it be fair to assume that at the very least that would continue in Q1, given raw material prices have actually shot up even further from March levels? And like you earlier said, that there will be some sharing of costs with the customer and some hit company will have to take?
Q1, we are almost towards, 65% or 70% of Q1 is over, right, today as we speak.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Unless something significantly changes tomorrow morning, I don't see that, you know, I see full of Q1 to be affected.
Okay, now the question was, are Q1 margins going to be worse than Q4, given the raw material prices have increased?
Shouldn't be worse, but should be in similar regions.
It is to give you the exact guidance, but, you know, the margin, we believe that in the margin will be, should not go below, 65%. Currently, in Q4, we have shown, 68% kind of gross margin, but we are gradually increasing the prices also. So it is very tough to say what kind of margin will come, but it should not go below, 65%.
Noted, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sorry, I joined the call a little late. I just want to understand that with respect to the recent inflation and the raw material prices, you said you will be taking a price hike in the coming quarter. And all at the same time, you will be taking some hit in your books. So I just want to understand if you are taking 50% hit, if you are passing on the 50% increase in raw material prices to the end users and taking some hit, your gross margins will come down in the coming quarters, right?
Correct.
Correct. So are you planning to are you planning some back of the end factory to improve efficiency so that your gross margins will pick up, or can we expect your going forward your gross margin levels to be at the current levels?
See, the thing is, we are still not sure about how long this price increase is going to last, because the way we work in India is we work on price lists, right, which are circulated to distributors and printed and sent to customers all across India. So this is a situation which you've never experienced before, and hence we cannot keep altering and changing and printing new price books, every 2 months or 3 months, because we lose credibility as well as distributors are unable to stock correctly. So, hence, we are still in a wait and watch mode, and we are increasing, as and when, for the product lines based on, where how the raw materials have increased and what we can, achieve from the customer. But it's very difficult at this point in time to give a very clear answer, because we produce thousands of these price books and supply it all over the country to distributors and customers alike. So and we can't keep changing that every quarter. It's generally a yearly process.
Understood, sir. So what is stopping us from taking a 100% price hike? Is it the competitive, like pass on the entire raw material prices to our customers?
It's very difficult because there's so much of inventory in the system. There are import, MNCs which have stocks, which they're importing stocks, you know. Any price increase, you know, which is not standard, you know, which would translate to 30-40% price increase, price over price, gives a large opportunity for, gives a very strong opportunity for other players to enter, other players to take advantage of it. You know, it's not a kind of industry where we could be able to take a significant price increase. However, if this becomes a permanent phenomenon and is valid to everybody, then over a, medium term or short to medium term, we will see gradual changes in everybody's pricing. But if this is a short-term phenomenon spread over 3 or 4 months, there are enough players in the industry which are willing to absorb the same to be able to gain market share.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, my last question is with respect to your bioprocessing containers and cell culture. Has the production of cell culture started, and how is the ramp-up with respect to bioprocessor containers going?
The ramp up is going well for the bioprocess containers, what we are producing, the bottles. And in cell culture, there are a few lines in which we've started pilot production and a few lines where we'll be starting pilot production in this quarter. So hopefully in the next 2 or 3 months, we should have all our lines up, and ready and producing and supplying samples.
So can we expect both of this to scale well in the second half, given that the first half will be for your
I said earlier, we would, this year we would, be able to try and get into most of the customer accounts and be able to validate our product and, become one of their vendors and try to build the repeatability and reliability what they expect from us. And years starting from year two, I think we would start seeing some improvements, and then scale up. Every year there would be significant scale up till probably year 4 or 5, where we reach certain amount of stability, where there would be stable growth moving forward for these lines.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take this as the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you everybody for your time on this call. If you have any other questions, please feel free to reach out.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Tarsus Product Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.